Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief for the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Borg vs. McEnroe, I Feel Pretty, and The Rider. Well, these all sound very active. How are you, David?
Well, I'm okay, Joe. How are you doing this week?
Great. Thank you for asking.
Well, that's good. Very glad to hear it. Yeah, I guess that these movies are each sort of active, each in its own way. Let's begin with our sports movie for the day, which is Borg versus McEnroe, which is, of course, about the exceedingly famous tennis players. And what we have here is a sort of a double biopic in a way, not really a biopic because it just deals with kind of their mature careers with flashbacks to the past. But we do have Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe preparing for a hugely important tennis match, which they had as rivals, as people who were right at the top of the field. And Borg was going for his fifth huge, gigantic title. I can't remember. I'm not particularly a sports person, so I can't remember exactly what the title was. It's actually a few weeks now since I saw this movie, although I've seen it more than once. It's a good film.
His fifth Wimbledon.
McEnroe, who wants to oust him and win the title for himself. So, and actually, I should be more specific about this. It's the 1980 Wimbledon match that the movie is sort of organized around. And then we have flashbacks to the past of the two young men, and we discover that they both had, to a certain extent, sort of troubled pasts in a way. John McEnroe is known to be very hot-headed and so forth, whereas Bjorn Borg is in a way the opposite, but his sort of super control over everything and his obsessive need to have everything exactly the way he wants it. We see him tuning his rackets, you know, to perfection and stuff like this. Also reflects a kind of inner tension which comes out of his own sort of somewhat troubled youth. So that's what we have. We have this rivalry. We have this build-up to this big match. Then finally we have the big match itself. We have flashbacks to when they were kids, and we find out about how they grew up and all that sort of thing. So again, in a way, it's a sort of a biopic, because we do find out about how they arrived at this point in their lives, but mainly we wait to find out how the big, huge match is going to turn out at the end. And are you going to root for Bjorn Borg, who is wants to go for this record-breaking title, or John McEnroe, who is this sort of up-and-comer who might unseat him, and of course Americans might be more prone to root for him. And then again, I'm sure a lot of people in Europe would be more prone to root for Borg. And of course, a lot of people know exactly how this match came out because they remember it or they've certainly heard about it. It's a really famous match. But it's still fun to watch, even if you know how the thing came out. And again, it's not just a sports movie. It really is a kind of a psychological profile of these two. Now, what is interesting here is who plays these main characters. Bjorn Borg is played by a Scandinavian actor named Sverre Gudnason, and he is really good. He really gets across the character of this guy with, shall we say, very deft strokes. It's a very nicely portrayed, under control performance, rather like Borg's own tennis playing. Interestingly, John McEnroe is played by Shia LaBeouf, an actor who is known for a certain amount of hot-headedness and controversy in his own life. And interestingly, one does not necessarily think of Shia LaBeouf as one of the kind of major screen stars of our time, although he was really excellent in a movie last year called American Honey, directed by the marvelous Andrea Arnold. And he is so good as John McEnroe in Borg versus McEnroe. In fact, Gudnason and LaBeouf are both really good in their roles. They play them just right. And LaBeouf is perhaps, however, the greater surprise of the two, because he, again, he's not I think we think of him more as kind of a celebrity than as an actual actor. And he does just a fine job here. Also, an interesting little side note about the actor who plays Borg, Gudnason, whose own son appears in the movie as one of his own younger selves during some of the flashback stuff. And I want to mention that a very big Scandinavian star, Skellen Skarsgård, appears as the coach of Bjorn Borg. And it's a very, very mature performance. He's a terrific actor, and it's nice of him to take this sort of supporting role, although it's a very major supporting role, and he lends the movie a certain amount of additional gravitas, shall we say. So Bjorn versus Borg, if you are into tennis, then it is something you should not miss. If you are not even particularly a sports person such as me, you'll probably enjoy it anyway. Again, it's a good psychological drama of these two men, and it does work up to a pretty rousing climax with just enough explanation from the on-screen commentators for those who don't know the ins and outs of tennis to be able to follow it pretty well. So, good movie. And interestingly, when the film was first released, it was simply called Borg McEnroe. But in Scandinavia, the movie is simply known as Borg, which is kind of interesting. A little bit of chauvinism going on there. But hey, that's okay. In America, it's known as Borg versus McEnroe, which is really a good depiction of exactly what the movie is about on both athletic and personal grounds. And now for, as the Monty Python people used to say, something completely different. I Feel Pretty is a new big old Hollywood movie, and it is basically a kind of a chick flick, and it is basically a kind of a very sentimental, very corny, very inconsequential, but rather pleasant entertainment. This is very much an Amy Schumer movie. Amy Schumer plays a character, a young woman, who is a little bit overweight and a little bit dumpy, and she has a job working on a sort of a website operation for a huge cosmetics company. And she and her extremely unattractive male co-employee work in the basement of this little building in Chinatown where they just grind out this website stuff all the time and banter between themselves. And her life is not a very happy one. She seems to be pretty lonely except for her two close girlfriends, and she really wishes that she could have dates and have a glamorous life, but she just feels so totally unattractive all the time. Well, this movie is a fantasy, and it relies on one of the oldest tricks in the fantasy book. Namely, she suffers a blow on the head and emerges from her brief little period of unconsciousness with the absolute conviction that she is one hot dish. She looks exactly the same to us. She looks exactly the same to everybody else in the movie as she always looked. Kind of overweight, kind of dumpy, not very attractive, but she herself is convinced that, well, she feels pretty. And to herself, she looks pretty. She just feels that she is gorgeous. And she suddenly changes all of her behavior. Suddenly she's talking about nothing but what a gorgeous chick she is and how wonderful she is and how incredibly attractive and appealing she is. And she comes on to guys who she meets online at the dry cleaner or the bank or something. And they are always sort of puzzled by her. But, you know, with her new confidence, with her new feeling pretty, even though to the rest of the world she doesn't look particularly pretty, she looks exactly the same as she always did, with this new confidence she actually starts to make some progress on her social life, some excellent process, really attractive guys are attracted to her, etc., etc. And this goes on for the course of the whole movie. I mentioned that she works for a huge cosmetic company in a very low-level job. She moves up, in her view, to her dream job. She gets to become the receptionist at their main building, which is a huge, fantastic, fabulous Manhattan office building. And there she meets more people, including the head of the whole company, and all kinds of wonderful things happen until, and I don't want to really give a spoiler, but with this kind of movie, you just wait until she gets that second blow on the head, which will shake her out of her fantasy. I won't tell you whether that happens or not, but that's the kind of thing you're likely to find yourself waiting for throughout the movie. So that is what I Feel Pretty is about. It is a fantasy, and I found it perfectly pleasant to watch. As I sometimes say about movies like this, it is not aimed at my demographic. It is a movie which is really for young women. That is its target audience. And I, by the way, am neither young nor a woman. nor do I feel particularly pretty most of the time. But hey, that's another story. But, you know, I had a perfectly pleasant time watching this film, which, by the way, was directed by Abby Cohn and Mark Silverstein, who have written a number of movies together, and now they make their directorial debut as a team. And I will say that one thing is really pretty throughout the entire movie is Manhattan. Well, maybe not in those scenes in the little basement office in Chinatown. But the rest of the movie, Manhattan looks gorgeous and glorious, way, way better than it looks in real life. But as a former Manhattanite myself, I still have a lot of nostalgia for the place. Hey, it looks just gorgeous. So if you want to see a beautiful city, if nothing else, I Feel Pretty is a movie for you. And finally, let us talk about The Rider. The Rider is getting, The Rider, not The Writer, The Rider as in horse riding, is getting reviews which are calling it one of the best movies of the year, maybe the best movie so far this year and things like that. And I do think it's a really, really good movie, maybe not quite all that good. It is another movie about a male character and his horse. We talked recently about a really terrific movie, a movie which I think is actually the best of the year so far, Lean on Pete, starring the young actor Charlie Plummer as a man who has various adventures as he makes a long journey with a horse, which he has basically stolen. Modern day Western in a certain sort of a way, more of a road movie actually. Well, The Rider is again a movie about a young man and his horse, but it's more unusual than Lean on Pete. The Rider is based on the real events that befell a young man named Brady Jandro, who was a rodeo rider. And by the way, virtually all of the actors in this movie are non-actors, non-professionals, playing characters very much like themselves in real life. So this young man named Brady Jandro plays a character very much like himself, named Brady Blackburn in the movie. And in real life, Brady Jandro suffered an accident a few years ago where he was thrown during a rodeo. He got his head stomped on. He now has, he could have died. He now has a plate in his skull, and he has been told, stay away from horses, stay away from rodeo, stay away from anything, because one more accident, even a little bit like this, and you will be dead. The thing is that Brady Jandro in real life and Brady Blackburn, the character he plays in the movie, loves horses and riding more than anything else in life. So that is really the crux of this entire movie. Here is somebody who has been told, you just had this horrifying near-fatal accident. Stay away from horses. Stay away from riding. Do only things that are very gentle. In fact, for one part of the movie, he gets a job working in a supermarket. That's about as active as he's supposed to be, according to his physicians. But he loves horses, and he can't stay away from them. And so what is going to happen to him? So that is the central sort of tension of the movie. And also involved in the film are other people in his life. His father, played by his real father, Tim Jandro. His sister, played by his real sister, Lily Jandro, who, by the way, is developmentally disabled. She has an intellectual disability, and she is, however, a wonderful, feisty character who seems to enjoy life very much. One more character I want to mention, who actually appears in the movie under his own name, not even a slightly changed last name, a guy named Lane Scott, who a few years ago had a really horrible accident, which left him almost completely paralyzed and almost unable to communicate. He can only communicate through sort of hand gestures and so forth. And he is also a character in the film whom Brady goes to visit a number of times. The movie is a little bit cagey here. Again, this movie is based very, very closely on the real lives of all of its main characters who are played by actors who went through the same things. In the case of Lane Scott, his real accident was a car accident. And the movie really, really strongly implies that with him too, it was a rodeo accident. But that aside, there are some lovely scenes when Brady goes to visit Lane in the facility where he now will probably spend the rest of his days, and helps him with some physical therapy and cheers him up. And there's some beautiful interactions there. All the while one wonders, how is this movie going to come out? Is Brady going to succumb to temptation and go back to horse riding? Or is he going to play it on the safe side and stay away from the thing that he loves best in the world? Fortunately, he's still able to work training horses. And the real life Brady Jandro was going to work in the mornings training horses. And the filmmakers got a whole lot of footage of him doing that. Nothing really dangerous. And that becomes another important part of the movie. Now, one of the fascinating things about The Rider, which really is an excellent film, is that it was written and directed by Chloe Zhao, who made a film just a few years ago that was somewhat similar in some ways. Like this movie, it was set entirely on a Native American reservation in South Dakota, and like this movie, it had people playing characters very much like themselves, the real-life people playing characters like themselves. That film was called Songs My Brothers Told Me. The Rider carries it farther. It's really, really very, very clear that all of these people that we're watching on the screen are very close to people who underwent experiences just like these in their actual lives, and that lends it an extra fascination. What fascinates me the most about this excellent movie is that Chloe Zhao comes from China, and she came to America, and now she has made two movies set in South Dakota that say more about authentic American life than almost anything that any Hollywood movies have come up with in a very long time. I salute Chloe Zhao. I think everybody ought to go to see The Rider. It's a wonderful film, and I really enjoyed every minute of it. And that is my somewhat varied story this week, Jill.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Borg vs. McEnroe, I Feel Pretty, and The Rider.